I am hoping that we will all get some and share some inspiration this hour to make 2014 an amazing year. We will talk with the co-authors of The 52 Weeks, two women and their quest to get unstuck with stories and ideas to jumpstart your year of discovery. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy New Year to you. What would be on your list of new things to try, fun things to do, skills to learn, kindness to give? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page, The Joy Cardine Show, or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Could you imagine doing one new thing every week for a year? I'm game. I really am. And I'm looking forward to hearing your ideas. Let me welcome our guests. Karen Amster Young is a marketing and public relations veteran, freelance writer. She is one of PR Week's 40 PR stars under 40, and she co-authored The 52 Weeks. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Pam Godwin is a former public school teacher and literacy specialist, also co-author of The 52 Weeks. Good morning to you, Pam.
Good morning.
Well, Happy New Year to both of you. And I truly am very excited by this idea. This is great. And it's perfect for New Year's, don't you think?
Definitely. I mean, it's really, you know, for us, it's about any time of year, but it's certainly ideal to talk about it on January 1st. Why not?
Yeah, why not? So tell us, Pam, starting with you, how did this come about, this idea for this book, The 52 Weeks?
Karen usually starts, it's so funny. You know, Karen and I were out one night. We are longtime friends, and we had been talking many times, but in particular that one evening over drinks, and just we were in our 40s, we are in our 40s, and just feeling, you know, somewhat restless, a little stuck, kind of inertia taking hold. And we said, you know, we really need to just stop complaining and figure out a way to fix this. And from that, after some discussion, we said, you know, let's just try something new. Let's just try and do something fun. Initially, it started out as let's do something fun every week.
Right.
You know, our kids get to have play dates. Our friends get to go out. We're not doing anything except, you know, our daily routines. So from that, you know, it snowballed. But that was the true genesis of our initial project, which ultimately, you know, later on turned into our book.
Right. And when you say you were stuck in a rut, bored, or was it more than that?
You know, we just found ourselves every day, like Pam mentioned, bringing our children to their activities. I have one daughter, Pam has two, and really in kind of patterns and routines that weren't working for us anymore. So we were tired of kind of hearing ourselves complain about it without even realizing it. You know, every time we got together, you know, we were complaining, and it's very, it doesn't get you anywhere, and we were almost annoying ourselves already. So we vowed to do something new or different, or like Pam said, it started to do something more, you know, about having fun again. And that's what we did, and we wanted to do it together just to be accountable to one another, to have someone kind of keeping track of are we doing these things, and you know, that's how it all started.
Yeah, and some of the things on the list that I'm looking at anyway, a lot of them are fun, and they look like they'd be a blast to try, but it also, these are things that volunteer more. I mean, that's, I guess that's fun too, but it's also, you know, helping someone else. So,
right. Yeah. Right, absolutely. You know, as I said, it did start out as more sort of less intrinsic things, there were some things that we did initially that were somewhat adrenaline inducing. But as our 52-week project morphed, we realized, you know, it was small things that really got us going, and we wanted to also work on things and that we were
looking into, looking internally,
right.
Also, and it turned into, like Pam said, like a lot of small things and just baby steps towards some of, we don't even call them goals, but we realized we knew that if we felt like for me, I felt paralyzed, you know, sometimes when it's not about running a marathon, maybe it was just about running a mile. And people get very paralyzed and stuck when they feel like it's such a big hurdle or mountain to overcome or climb. So all of a sudden our list, we started with about, I think, 26 things on our respective lists, on some things we were going to do together and some things apart. And then it went into like things like volunteering and looking within and working on our relationships. So it was a number of things.
You wrote a piece, Pam, that was in the Huffington Post. It's the new year. Make a list, but don't call them resolutions. How come you don't think we should call them resolutions?
Well, because resolutions tend to fail. People often bite off a lot more than they can chew. And when you say, as Karen said, you know, most people say, "My good, you know, I'm going to lose 20 pounds this year. I'm going to run a marathon." Those big things tend to paralyze people because you don't succeed. And a lot of statistics say that, you know, by February, the majority of people drop off and don't follow through their resolution. So for us, it was really just about saying, let's do one little thing. Even if it fails, it's a success. When you make a resolution, if you fail, you have not been successful. But we tried many, many things. Some things we liked, some things we absolutely hated, but every single thing really did have value in it.
And they weren't goals necessarily. They were just carving out time for ourselves, which can lead to success and, you know, increasing your confidence in terms of if you really need to tackle a goal. So it was about being happier, you know, not to say we were unhappy, but by making time to play, you know, that it one thing leads to another, and you can sign up for an art class and perhaps meet, you know, a prospective job, you know, a new employer, or meet a new friend or a new relationship. So it's one thing leads to another, and that's really important too, because people are too goal focused. And it's really about just getting out the door. I think Pam always says, you know, no matter what she did, what was it that you say, Pam? No matter what you did.
No matter what I did, there was value in it, right? Whether I enjoyed it or didn't enjoy it, just the act of doing something really and getting me out the door just had such a domino effect for me.
Well, I'm guessing that some listeners are thinking, yeah, maybe I'll do this too. I'm serious that I'd love to do this. Where do we start? How do I just start brainstorming things I've never done before or have always wanted to do? How do you start the list?
Absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what Karen and I did. The night after we went out, we literally got together the next day, and we each created a list. I remember there was a Karen list and a Pam list and then a mutual list.
Right.
Because some of the things, we're very good friends, but we're very different people. So my 52 is not your 52, is not Karen's 52. So we each created our own, started, full disclosure, there was not 52 things to start. There was, I think, as Karen said, I had 27. I think she had about 26 or 27 as well. And then we had a mutual list. And we just, you know, really brainstormed things that we have never done, things that we've done we wanted to revisit again. I remember I wanted to take piano lessons again. I hadn't done that since I was a young child. And then we came up with some things that we wanted to share together as well, and just started checking it off. And in all honesty, some things we didn't get to, we added along the way, because one thing does lead to another, and it opened up ideas and doors for us. We took away things and realized, you know what, I really don't want to try this.
Yeah, something never should have been on the list. But that's okay. It was a whole work in progress, and the list by the end of the year was definitely crossed off and added and edited. So,
well, let's talk about some of the specific things, and I'll ask you, what one item was the most meaningful to you? That's going to be a hard one, but what did you do that was most meaningful, Pam?
That's a tough one, Joy, in all honesty, because really, in all honesty, you know, I tell you this honestly, that really everything I did had some type of value for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there really was one in particular that meant the most to me, because there were so many different sort of types of 52s that we did. So there were some that were very adrenaline-inducing. I loved doing my polar bear plunge and jumping in on New Year's Day into the Atlantic Ocean. But I also was interested in visiting. We live in New York City, and I had never gone down to Ground Zero. And I finally went down to Ground Zero and visited the site as they were rebuilding the Freedom Tower. So that was something that was very meaningful to me internally. So, you know, each thing we did had special meaning in its own way.
I get it. I do. But I'm still going to ask Karen to answer that, too.
I'm not off the hook. you know, I think for me it was more about, it's very difficult for me to just play and do something without a goal. It could be just the nature of my personality. So when I did do the day, I set aside some hours to go test drive Maseratis just to have fun. And I remember driving to where I was supposed to, you know, test drive the cars, and I felt so guilty. I kept thinking I have to turn back because this is so frivolous, and you know, I was thinking of my to-do list, my boring to-do list, not my 52-week to-do list. And it was a big, like, I had to pat myself on the back that I actually, because it was one of my favorite 52s, was just doing something strictly to have fun. And that's difficult for me, and I think it's difficult for many women in particular, probably all people, but definitely women, to take that time for themselves and not feel guilty about it. So that was one of my moments where I was just very happy that I followed through on it. And then there were more, you know, things like taking dance lessons with my husband and working on that relationship and nurturing that relationship, because we tend to take the people around us very much for granted. So, you know, it was a wide range of things. But those are two of my favorites.
We'll talk about others that were on our guests' lists. Their 52-week list, taking on something new every week, something fun, something to learn from, something to accomplish. And we're wondering if you might have some things that you want to accomplish or do in this coming year. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Karen Amster-Young is a marketing and public relations veteran, freelance writer. Pam Godwin is a former public school teacher and a literary specialist. They are co-authors of The 52 Weeks. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We are talking with the authors, the co-authors of The 52 Weeks, two women and their quest to get unstuck with stories and ideas to jumpstart your year of discovery. And we're welcoming your ideas for a year of discovery. Are there some items on your bucket list, something that you've always wanted to do for fun or to learn something new or to help someone else? What would you like to do this year that maybe you've never done before, and why? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Do you have a New Year's resolution or several resolutions? We're not necessarily talking about resolutions here, but maybe a list of things that that you would like to accomplish in 2014. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the things you did on your 52 weeks, Karen and Pam. I'm thinking about maybe overcoming a fear, doing something that I've been a little bit afraid to do. And now this might sound kind of silly, but I have yet to do a handstand in yoga. That's just one thing that I would like to do. I'm afraid to do it. I don't think I'm physically capable of doing it, but that's one thing on my list. So is that the type of thing you're talking about?
It's really anything. I mean, I definitely took baby steps towards overcoming fears. I could go further than that on yoga, because I was about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, my first yoga experience, I really did have like a panic attack. And I think for me, and there are a lot of women out there who have those, and men, but for me, it was the stillness of yoga. I was so used to sports and tennis. I'm a big tennis player, but there was something about the stillness and being with my thoughts that had evoked this uncomfortable feeling for me. So I was very hesitant to go back. So believe it or not, just going to yoga for me was on my list because I'm certainly somebody who could use it. And Pam, you know, talk about doing this with somebody, which I think is so important because I was really walking over to the yoga studio and was really nervous because I just hadn't gone back. I had avoided it. And Pam said, just go, put your mat near the door. And, you know, if you have to leave after 10 minutes, you'll leave after 1 minute or 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And, you know, that encouragement was so important for me. And I actually really enjoyed it and have gone back and even did some yoga, like with some friends over the summer in my backyard and really, you know, really trying to incorporate it more into my life. But it could be something as simple as really not physically being able to do something. I mean, for various reasons, or like you, just a, you know, something you are a little fearful of, you just haven't done that particular move. And so it runs the whole gamut.
Yeah, I love the idea of doing it with someone else. But you know what? It scares me a little bit to even put that on the list because what if I don't accomplish it? Am I going to beat myself up?
Well, most of the time there's a baby step associated with that. I don't know if there's a baby step with going upside down. Pam, you want to help me there? But usually
you know,
can.
But that's the beauty of our project, that it doesn't matter. You can you can add things to your list that you want to change, that you want to add, that you want to eliminate. And if you don't get to it, that's fine. You haven't failed in the way of, you know, someone making a resolution and not getting to it, because there's something else that you'll get to. And as long as you start accomplishing and checking off certain things,
it gives you confidence. When you start checking off those things, it gives you confidence for those things. So maybe it'll be the 51st or the 52nd week that you might do that handstand, you know, the go upside down and do that move in yoga. But a lot of things you can take small baby steps. And I think that, like I said, you know, before people kind of look at it as an all or nothing kind of thing, and then they don't do anything, which is the worst choice you can make.
What's the scariest thing that you did in your 52 weeks?
You know, I don't think there's a clear answer for that because it's so different for each person. So whatever baby step, my baby step towards overcoming a fear, you know, might be something that is very, very, it's very personal. Like I said, you know, going into that yoga class again, you know, don't love flying. I don't love flying. I do it all the time, you know, for business and pleasure, particularly years ago. But, you know, there were little steps I took. I don't avoid it, but there were steps I took to kind of overcome that, for me, that uncomfortable feeling. So those are very personal things. Everybody's 52 list is unique, and the fears that they want to overcome are going to be different, you know, for each of them.
I think I was probably most fearful when I did that polar bear plunge, for a variety of reasons, not just the act of jumping.
Well, it's getting out of your comfort zone, Pam. And
right.
That's what we talk about in terms of fears. Anything out of your comfort zone, Joy, can be scary, and the unknown is scary. So even if you're, you know, going rock climbing, you know, like Pam, like we did, and whatever activity it is, if it's not familiar for you, but you're going to have confidence once you achieve that. That's the thing.
Right. And I understand it'll be different for different people. I was just kind of giving our listeners an idea of some of the things that both of you did and how you felt about them. I think we heard one of your most fun ones. I can't remember now. I'm sorry. Who did the sports car drive?
That was me. I mentioned that before with the going to
Karen did it. Yeah.
Karen, sorry.
Yeah, and so Pam, did you have one that was particularly fun?
Yeah, I really enjoyed rock climbing a lot, and that was actually very. I was fearful of that as well. And getting back to what you said about the fear, one of the ones that wound up being most enjoyable to me was when I did my swim, for a variety of reasons. Because I overcame an enormous amount of things. It ultimately wound up being extremely fun. I don't love going in the water. I clearly didn't love going in the water when it was New Year's Day in New York and it was freezing. I also had a big audience there because there were thousands of people there, and there was also my daughter came to see if I would really follow through. So it wound up being, and it was, and this event was also a charity event. So I felt, you know, very, very, it wound up being one of the most fun things I did, because it incorporated so many aspects of the project, and I was able to give back. I was able to have an external adrenaline rush. I overcame a fear. I followed through on something, and, you know, and it was just something I never really thought I would do, was to go swimming like that and put a bathing suit on in front of all those people.
That is very fearful. We are talking with Pam Godwin and Karen Amster Young. They are co-authors of The 52 Weeks, and we are talking with them about the different items that they accomplished in a 52-week period, a year, I think this was in 2011, where every week they did something else, something new. They learned something new. They did something fun. And we're welcoming the things that you would put on your 52-week list. 1-800-642-1234. What would you like to do this year? That's fun or different or would help someone else or would just be something new for you to learn. Maybe you want to take a cooking class. Maybe you want to learn how to play poker. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let's talk a little bit about you guys started this because you felt kind of stuck in a rut. What do you think gets us stuck in the first place?
I think it's doing the same things day in and day out and not shaking it up. I think it's about shaking it up. And it could be as simple as getting out of your zip code. It could be taking a different route to work. I always say I was dropping off my daughter. Her school is right next to one of the most famous museums the Guggenheim in New York City, and I would be dropping her off, and I hadn't gone in, you know, for 2 years. I kept thinking, oh, I have to drop her off, and I have to get back to my desk, or I have to go to the supermarket, or whatever it was, and people, you know, get caught up like that, and I think that's the key, is getting out of your comfort zone, shaking things up, putting down things that aren't about goals, but just about having fun or carving out time, whether it's to volunteer or, and it's volunteering, it could be 10 minutes, 10 hours, or 10 weeks. I think we talk about that. We have 10 chapters in the book, relationships, wellness, volunteer, giving back, changing course, which is about shaking it up in terms of your professional life. You know, volunteering can lead to a new career. You're not thinking about that, but whether it's, you know, we talk about, even if you only have 10 minutes, you know, help an elderly neighbor, make chicken soup for somebody who's not feeling well. So it's not at saying, oh, I can't do this. It's just like going to the gym. I can't do this. I don't have the time. And that's, you know, that's one of the biggest things. People get really stuck in that inertia and that mindset of not being able to move forward.
Yeah, I brought an elderly neighbor who had recently moved from her home, right next door to me, to an assisted living facility. And even though I felt so busy and I didn't think I had the time to do it, went over to her new place and brought her a little tray of cookies, and we had a nice little visit. And that it took a half hour out of my day, an hour maybe. And you feel good when you do something good for someone else,
right? Absolutely, that was one of the big epiphanies. For me, at least, and I feel like I can speak for Karen as well. But it allows you when you do something, even though you feel guilty. We, as Karen talked about, there was a lot of guilt always involved about feeling selfish and, you know, leaving our family and trying to fit our little things to do, as our family would call them. It wasn't as if we took a year off and traveled the world and did this. We had lives that we were living while we were trying to complete this project. But one, and we felt very, 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 very guilty all the time. But once we did something, we always felt so much better after, which in turn benefited everyone else around us. So it really became, you know, it was such a positive thing to do any small, whether it's helping someone else or doing something new or trying something new or, you know, whatever it is that you're doing to get out of your comfort zone. But it's just such a wonderful thing because it really lifts you up, which in turn lifts everyone else up. And that's, you know, it became very productive.
Yeah, and we also, Joy, we feel very strongly, you know, it's important for us to say that it wasn't, Pam and I don't feel like the experts here. We're works in progress, and we have a new 52-week list, I think, in the works right now. But that's why we reached out. We have many experts in the book, from CEOs to doctors to artists and even a comedian and a poker champion who, you know, are providing, you know, advice and tips, you know, throughout our book on how to get unstuck and how to move forward. And I think that was important for us because, you know, we were just two friends who kind of took on this project. And we felt that it was really great to get those expert voices and get those tips from some of those experts.
Well, why do you think it might be... Are you issuing the 52-week challenge still?
Yes. It's on our website, the52weeks.com. And, you know, we'd love to hear from people about just one thing that they're, you know, trying to want to do or trying to do or just want to have
or
fun
Or get
doing.
Rid of.
Or what, Pam?
Or get rid of.
Yes, exactly.
You know, anything. It's even about eliminating. It can be really about anything. But yes, the 52-week challenge is on our website, and you know, we welcome the ideas. And if you're stuck and can't really think of any ideas, that's something else that we helped you along with. In the book, we provided, even though everyone's list is different, there's a chapter in our book that has different ideas for each different category to kind of give you a little jump start to just, you know, give you a taste and pique your interest.
And just get the creative juices flowing in terms of, you know, coming up with both small as well as more ambitious items you might want to have on your list.
And I'm surprised we haven't had any takers yet in terms of questions you might have, experiences you might have had. Have you already, for example, tried to overcome a fear and you did something like, I don't know, taking up a polar bear plunge? Or is there a certain skill you've wanted to learn and you decided to take an exercise class or a cooking class or some other kind of class? What would you put on your list? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. What ideas do you have for us to get unstuck and to jumpstart a year of discovery? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with the co-authors of The 52 Weeks and their experiences with trying something new. Linda on Facebook says, I am going to stop eating white flour, white sugar, and reduce my intake of all carbs. So that sounds kind of like a typical I'm going to get healthy or lose weight New Year's resolution, but that could go with the 52 weeks as well, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we have a whole chapter on wellness, and we have a doctor as well as a nutritionist to talk about those little changes that you should make in your life or you could make in your life. I mean, I spent a week, my blueberry project I wrote about in the book, where I was constantly, you know, wanting traditional breakfast, you know, with bread and cheese and eggs. And I was always buying blueberries with the best intention, and they would end up shriveled up in my refrigerator and I would throw them out. So I started, you know, really by putting blueberries on my bagel at the beginning of the week. And by the end of the week, I was, you know, finally successful in just, you know, grabbing a handful, you know, with a cereal bar and, you know, going a little earlier to the gym. So, you know, I would love, full disclosure, I still struggle to incorporate the blueberries in my life. But if you don't try it and even just say, I'm going to do this for one day or one week, you know, you'll never, I know it sounds silly, but just that little sense of accomplishment. I mean, if the person who just wrote on Facebook, you know, goes 1 week without the white processed flour, you know, it'll give her the confidence to do something bigger.
I love it. I really do. That's great because my blueberries go bad all the time.
Yeah,
Karen broke up with cheese too.
Oh yeah, I broke
why
up.
Why did you break up with cheese?
It wasn't working for me anymore, that relationship. and I have to admit, it's like the bad boyfriend that you went back to when you were younger. And I have gone back with cheese at different times. I'm not going to lie to you, but I'm constantly working on it. And I did spend 1 week, you know, really breaking up with cheese. So that was another post in my on the blog, and then ultimately ended up in the book.
Well, what I did, was it last year or the year before? I just said I was going to try a new recipe every single week.
Exactly.
And that was just kind of nice because it just broadened the repertoire and gave us some good, fun things to eat. And I'm going to do something similar. I'm going to do a vegan recipe, maybe once a month. I don't know if I could do it once a week, but just try a new vegan recipe.
That's great. I actually made red velvet cake one week. That was on my 52-week list because I love it and I had never made it and I'm not really a baker either. So I did that. And then I also tried new foods. I forced myself to
the
try
kimchi.
Kimchi.
The what?
To try kimchi, which
kimchi,
is a foreign
right.
food. And I you know, I'm not a spicy person and I went for it. My husband loves Korean food, and I don't. And I said, you know what? It's something so little, but it was, in a way, it was a, you know, it was definitely getting out of my comfort zone. And
that's the thing
here.
Not everything is right. Are these big things. We had plenty of the big things, but we also had these little small moves because there are things in people's lives that, you know, for whatever reason, they just circle in their head and they never get done. It's not bucket list, but it's little things that it's just almost irritating not to eventually do it. And getting out of your comfort zone all the time. And sometimes comfort zone's okay, too. There are times life throws you a curveball or you're dealing with issues or whatever that, you know, you have to give yourself a break and be fine with not getting out of your comfort zone. So, you know, that definitely became apparent in our project as well.
Well, I just needed to do a little bit of prodding. Now we have full lines with listeners who want to join in. But I'm gonna start with Diane in Onalaska because I think Diane is going to express a question that's on many people's minds. Hi, Diane.
Good morning. Good
morning.
This sounds like a wonderful idea, and I can already, you know, put together a list. But then I get realistic, and I think, you know, just using some of the things that you've mentioned, taking piano lessons, learning yoga, volunteering. Okay, so then you've already added three things to your list of an already full schedule. So I'm just wondering, how do you fit all of those things in? I do understand that, you know, you said some of these things are just one-time events that you try and let go. But, for example, piano lessons is a longer commitment, and a yoga class you typically would sign up for, you know, 8 to 10 weeks. And so I guess I need some help in understanding how all of this really fits in realistically.
You know, it was definitely hard, and scheduling is an issue because Karen and I both have husbands, children, jobs. But
the 52, I'm sorry, Pam, but the 52-week challenge is also about just trying and dabbling. And what's your name? I'm sorry.
Diane.
Because it's about even trying. You don't know what it is that's going to really resonate with you that you're going to want to keep in your life. I took a golf lesson, and I really wouldn't care if I ever touched a golf club again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about a one-time our project. There are many others. There are other people that may choose to, you know, say, I'm going to do these three things this year, and they're going to sign up for the 8 to 10 week. We felt a little bit like we didn't even know what we, correct me if I'm wrong, Pam, we didn't even know what we liked anymore. In our mid-40s, we kind of got to a point where we were taking care of so many other people, we kind of forgot what we enjoyed, and do we still enjoy the things we liked when we were children, or younger, I should say, young adults, and what are the new things at this stage in our life that we may want to incorporate? It's not until after the 52 weeks that you might say, like for me, it was yoga and I loved the art class I took. So those would be the two that I'd make a financial investment in.
Right, but to answer your question, Diane, that's so true. But if you have an idea already, like I know for me, rather than watching giving myself that 30 minutes to watch a terrible TV program,
right.
I could now go out and do, you know, take the class. And I found, you know, and I found for me, the more I started to do, you know, the more you do, the more time you have. And somehow it did fit in because I was not paralyzed anymore. And because I really got out the door, my time was much better spent. And I was able to schedule myself in a way to fit these things in. It definitely is achievable because I know it is.
And it's finagling the list, too, because there are some weeks that I couldn't get out the door. And let's say my daughter was home sick from school. So maybe on my list would be try a new recipe, and I wouldn't be leaving the kitchen. You know, so you do have to kind of maneuver shape which ones decide which ones on a particular week and a work in your life. And be ready for those changes.
We are going to take a short pause, and then we're going to take more calls. What do you want to do in 2014? What is something new that you would like to experience or to accomplish or to learn or maybe relearn? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking with the co-authors of The 52 Weeks, two women and their quest to get unstuck with stories and ideas to jumpstart your year of discovery. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with the co-authors of The 52 Weeks, and we're welcoming your ideas, things that you would like to accomplish in 2014, from the very big, some kind of big bucket list thing, if you want to go hot air ballooning or something, or maybe it's something kind of tiny. Maybe you want to take a golf lesson. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Maybe you want to reread a classic. Just want to read more. What's on your list of things you'd like to do in 2014? And would you ever do what our guest did? I think I'm going to try this. It's a challenge to try something new every week. It's the 52-week challenge. We have provided a link to the website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you'd like to check that out. And we again welcome your questions and your ideas for Pam Godwin and Karen Amster Young, co-authors of The 52 Weeks. Our next caller is Monica in Delavan. Hi, Monica.
Hi.
Yes.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. I'm 53 years old, and I had made a conscious decision a couple years ago to try something new at least once a year, and first started out just like in my comfort zone, and had taken a little class that helped me learn that I have boundaries that I'm keeping in my comfort zone, and I need to push out beyond that. And so this past year, I've got a fear of heights, so I decided to do zip lining, and it's going to a place
great.
In Lake Geneva. Yeah, it was very frightening. I don't know that I would do it again, because I know that I went with a couple of coworkers, and with having them along and encouraging me was wonderful. But each area I went got smaller, and I'm a larger person.
Right.
And so by the time I got to two-thirds up, my whole body was shaking. My legs were shaking, my arms, my head. All my coworkers were thinking I wasn't going to continue. but I just kept pushing myself and saying I knew it was good for me.
That's great.
So,
that's it. And that's an extreme way of getting out of your comfort zone. But
And aren't you glad that you did it in the end? Was that just so...
Yeah. Absolutely. It made me understand that I can do anything.
Yeah. Well, that's it. It's building sometimes we lose our confidence in certain areas of, you know. And as we get older, you know, we our world sometimes get a little smaller. We get more fears and our comfort zones, you know, seem too comfortable, you know, to leave.
It's funny. because that made me think of one of our experts in our book. She's actually a CEO of a marketing firm, and she was the instructor of a poker class that I took for women, and it was only women in the poker class, and she became one of the experts in our book about trying something new and just for fun. And she actually related the story. She, you know, she's a very, very confident, well put together woman who is just, you know, you would never in a million years think that she would have this story. And she relates a story that she allowed us to put in the book as well, where she went away and did not a zip line, but a similar, what was it, Karen? She had to climb a pole and then
she was at a spa with some friends and she doesn't even remember the ascent. She was so nervous. Very similar situation, and like Pam said, a very confident woman who all of a sudden, you know, just was extremely not confident in this situation. And she looked around and she realized that, you know, here are women all shapes and sizes that are doing it, and it gave her, you know, and she did it, and she felt really great afterwards. I mean, same kind of thing.
And yeah. Just pushed through and just thought, you know, here's this one thing that I don't do, I don't like doing. I'm very successful in so many other aspects and areas of my life, but I'm just going to go for it. And it, you know, it made all the difference for her. And she was so thrilled. She didn't love the experience, but she loved what she got from the experience.
Wonderful. Monica, thank you so much for calling, and congratulations. Happy New Year.
Yeah, thank you. Happy New Year.
Yeah,
thank you.
What a great story. And to me, zip lining is fun. I'm not afraid of heights, but I love it that it wasn't so much fun for her, but she really did gain so much from that experience in terms of confidence that she feels
exactly.
She can do anything.
Right, yeah. But that's the beauty of it. You know, you're... what's fun for you is not fun for for someone else. So that's why a 52 list is so unique to yourself. It's really important to have someone along with you for support, you know, emotional support or mental support, but it's great that you can come up with your own ideas and take it on yourself.
Let's go to Betty and Brown Deer next. Hello, Betty. Interesting story, I think, that you have.
Oh, good morning. I kind of was looking on my shelf, and I didn't have any vanilla wafers, and I didn't have any crackers, and I thought, I'll bet you could make vanilla wafers and crackers. So good and so easy. The vanilla wafers, I did get a recipe from the library. They were nice enough to look it up on their computer, and they turned out great. The crackers, I had no idea, so I just started mixing flour, and I figured there should be some baking powder and probably something wet and something oily, and I rolled them real thin. Ooh, are they good? They're just loaded with sesame.
Way to go, Betty. So you really made do, and you actually made something new that you've never made before, and you were experimenting and made your own crackers.
Absolutely.
Did I also read here that you would like to retake or relearn high school chemistry?
I got my chemistry book out, and I decided it's time to learn the periodic table. And I'm close to 70. There's all this stuff I never learned. So I'm dragging my algebra book out. I'm learning how to spell. I can spell khaki now, K-H-A-K-I, I think.
I think you're right, Betty. I think that's wonderful. You're never too old to learn something new, Karen or Pam. And how do you like
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Oh, I love it. That's wonderful. You are never too old to learn something new. My mother went parasailing for her 80th birthday, and she's not. And you know, she said, "You know what? I'm going to just do this." So it's never too late. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I love the fact that she was just enterprising. And hey, I don't have any vanilla wafers. I'm going to make some.
God bless.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Betty, for the call. Now let's go to Terry in Boyceville. Hello, Terry.
Hi.
Yes.
I'm kind of nervous.
Good morning.
My son gets married this Saturday, and a good friend and I went shopping just Monday for a dress. And we happened to find one, and it's a form-fitting dress.
Right.
And it's red. I've never had a red dress. And I haven't been in a form-fitting dress since I've been in high school, and I'm 53. but I'm so excited to try this.
I love it. That's great.
I dreamt about that dress.
Take a photo of it and post it on our channel.
Yes, can you do that?
I'd love to see you, and I'm sure you're going to look gorgeous. We would love for you to post it on our website or on our Twitter feed or on Facebook. We would absolutely love to see the red dress at the wedding. That would be wonderful.
Thank you.
Consider that, Terry. That would be really wonderful. And congratulations. Have a wonderful time at your son's wedding. And that's brave. That's doing something brave, isn't it?
Yeah, well, everything, you know, bravery is, you know, in the, you know, it's very individual. I mean, there's a woman who wrote for our book, who is a guest writer, who really had self-esteem issues with her body. And she actually took a naked yoga class, which is very extreme, but it gave her the confidence. That's in the book, right, Pam? That's one of
Absolutely, the, yeah.
Gave her the confidence to, you know, take it further and get over her, you know, kind of, she didn't like to appear, you know, in a bathing suit, nothing, but, you know, she just kind of dove into this naked yoga class, and it's actually a very humorous piece. So that's absolutely, even putting on a red dress, and that's form-fitting if you're not used to it, is out of your comfort zone.
Thank you again, Terry, for the call. Here's an email from John in La Crosse. I've written a lot of books and articles explaining technology, but I've never written any fiction. This year, I am going to write a short story based on something my Scottish grandfather told me when I was a child. But I am new to considering character development and doing historical research. This will be a challenge. Well, that's a great one. Write a story.
Absolutely. That's great. Write a book. I mean, I'm a perfect example. Karen and I are perfect examples of that. That this was, talk about getting out of our comfort zone and trying something new.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what was so joy. I mean, the fact that this blog led to this for us was out of our comfort zone, and just a wonderful, one thing leads to another, whatever it is. So,
right, because we clearly did not set out to write a book. You know, our project started as something between two friends. We decided to blog about it just to be accountable and get it out there so there was no turning back. And then ultimately, it, you know, later on down the road, we realized that we were onto something, and that's how it became a book. But the original intent was really just for ourselves to get ourselves going again.
We only got a couple of moments left, so maybe just hear some last words from both of you briefly. Why should we consider taking the 52-week challenge or something we might even do today to get unstuck?
You know, for me, it really wound up not being about the big stuff. And it was really about small little pleasures and that made me feel good and better and got me moving again. So it just increased my confidence, and it opened the doors to a lot of opportunities. And I know, you know, there are many people out there that just really, literally can't get themselves out the door every once in a while. And choosing just to do one little thing really just gets the juices flowing again and gets you going.
Yeah, the woman who wrote the foreword for our book, Barbara Hannah Grefferman, who's also the author of a book about the best of everything after 50, she talks about the inertia curse. And, Joy, that's the biggest, you know, how to overcome. She didn't even realize how stuck she was. And she made a lot of changes in her life. This and her book predates ours. But, you know, that feeling of inertia, and I think that even today, on January 1st, it's the perfect day to just, well, do something fun, and you never know where it's going to lead, and do something you could do something very small. So it's just about doing something. And if you feel like starting on February 1st or July 1st, then that's fine, too. It's not really about achieving goals. It's about carving out time for yourselves and shaking things up.
Wonderful. Thank you both very much for being with us, and Happy New Year. Talking with the co-authors of The 52 Weeks, Two Women and Their Quest to Get Unstuck, with stories and ideas to jumpstart your year of discovery. Thanks to Pam Godwin and to Karen Amster-Young. This is the Ideas Network.